It's a correspondent special, 73.
73. Thing is, a seven, only heaven sounds like seven.
Yeah.
Leaven, like leavened bread, yeah. Heaven, 73, leaven, be me, I am bread.
Leaven, be me, like a very like crowbarred in riddle answer.
or something you say when you're surprised by something. Well, leaven be me. Well, leaven be me. Seven sharks.
Well, leaven be me. Phil Wang, how the hell are you?
Yeah, exactly.
So, correspondent special. George gets in touch.
George, let us gorge upon your correspondence.
It's true. The title is George from Brixton again with more filth.
George from Brixton, yeah, nice one. Let's hear your filth from below the Thames.
He says, hey again, butt squats.
I like that.
George from Brixton here again with more filth from my salad days. And by salad, I mean the anemic shreds of wet lettuce and onion you get coming out of the back of a Lancaster kebab.
Gosh. A Lancaster kebab sounds like a horrible torture. That sounds like something gangs in Lancaster do to each other as an initiation.
Awful sex act.
Gave him a Lancashire kebab.
Oh, yeah. A lamb skewer on the end of your knob.
Ugh. Black. Horrible. Anyway, we've already filled this up before, George.
Yep, we've prepped the land for you there, George. I have two stories for you. Both involve fairly ghastly things happening to innocent people.
Oh, no.
He adds, no one was hurt, but pretty much everyone suffered.
Okay, this is good. This is a perfect butt pod story.
No one was hurt, but everyone suffered. This man kept farting in a crowded pub. No one was hurt, but everyone suffered. So, he says, story one, the human shield.
Gosh.
10 years ago. It's a good title, yeah, human shield.
Very good title.
10 years ago, I had a leaving due before going traveling for 6 months. After some fruity behavior across 5 pubs and bars, it culminated in Maidenhead's most lascivious den of iniquity, Smoky Joe's.
Maidenhead? I've performed Maidenhead a couple of times. I probably walked past Smoky Joe's.
Oh, we've all gigged at Norden Farm Art Center, Phil.
Yes, of course. Who hasn't?
So he ends up at Smoky Joe's. The kind of place you get dysentery from if you order anything less than 40% ABV.
There is nothing more suspect than a restaurant in the UK with an American-y name.
Oh,
that
yes.
That's the one to avoid the most. If it's like Yeehaw's Grill and it's in Cheam, don't go.
The American Texas Diner in Wolverhampton.
Yeah, stay away.
Also, I often find that in dinery places in the UK, when they go, rack of ribs, and it's like 15 quid, so you think, oh, like a proper rack of ribs, and it'll be like 5 ribs.
Yeah, it's like some ribs they got at Sainsbury's fucking local.
They haven't understood that we want half a rib cage here, people.
Yeah, this is not a rack.
This is an Iraq. After drinking myself into comfortable oblivion, my girlfriend propped me up on a stool and I had everyone line up to say goodbye. That's good.
yeah, very good. Paying their dues like he's a Don Corleone.
So he's propped
thank
up
you,
on a stool.
Thank you for coming.
Yeah, thank you for coming. Thank you for coming. On the day of my Maidenhead pub crawl.
I'll buy you a Sambuca you can't refuse.
You don't even have the decency to buy me a round. So he says, My girlfriend propped me up on a stool and I had everyone line up to say goodbye. Like a spent puppet, I sat there.
A spent puppet.
I sat there and feebly attempted to return the hugs I was given.
I can picture this so well.
Yeah.
Just a sort of delirious smile. And just eyelids sort of hovering at about 90% closed.
Lolling head. Thank you, goodbye. Yeah. Suddenly, as an old friend came up to say goodbye, I shooed her away.
What, the girlfriend or the old friend?
The old friend.
Okay.
Pushing her when she got close. I managed to babble, "Fuck off, go away." At which point, another friend stood to her defense and came up to me with a few choice words to say about my manners.
Fuck off, go away.
Fuck off, go away. So, a friend came up with a few choice words to say about my manners. She'd managed to say the words, "George, how dare you say..." before my hand reached my face.
Okay.
Through the gaps in my fingers, hot, fizzy, sour vomit...
Please...
lashed across her face in three perfect streams.
I mean, he really wanted her to fuck off, didn't he? That looks like he went, "Fuck off, go away." And to make you go away, bleh! Like the Exorcist. Like,
he says, "Fuck off, go away." And then a new person comes up and goes, "George, how dare you?" Bleh!
Like a defense. Like a squid.
It's such a funny reaction to "how dare you," because that implies you don't have manners and you're responding with vomit in their face.
George, how dare...
Yeah. So, through the gaps in his fingers, hot, fizzy, sour vomit lashed across her face in three perfect streams. Yeah, he split it with his fingers. The sheer force.
Oh, man, like a light experiment.
Yes. Yeah. In her hair, in her eyes, and in her mouth.
Oh, God, because she was mid-speech, of course.
As she turned away, my spasming stomach maintained the ordinance. As she burst into tears, and a harem of girls followed her into the toilets to unpollute her face, I was shepherded out of the bar to go home.
Oh my gosh. And they all came to celebrate him as well. That's the funny part.
My hands glistening with steaming vomit as I waved my friends goodbye.
I'm amazed a taxi took him in that state.
It gets worse, he says.
Did he shit himself in the taxi?
No.
I have a feeling...
After that catastrophe, in a fit of drunken misjudgment, my brother then took that same girl home that very night.
Oh! Vomit girl!
So the brother ends up getting off with the vomit victim.
Wow! Gosh!
Yeah.
Like, oh, man. Is that a system they have?
I don't think that system is reliable enough to him.
I don't remember this chapter of the game.
What you want after the card trick? Throw up in her face. After you've done a card trick with your peacock hat. So he says, and the very worst bit was he could not achieve an erection in the end because she still smelled of sick.
Oh my god, yes, I'm not surprised. Keep it in your pants for one night. Come on.
I think if you in your head know that you're going out on a pub crawl, if you're going to take the pub crawl seriously to any degree, you have to accept that there's going to be no good banging for anyone.
No, yeah.
You're all embarking on a voyage.
No one ever says, "I went on a pub crawl and then I had this amazing sex." That's like saying I had a vindaloo followed by the best sex of my life. It's like there are just some things that if you put in your body, you're not going to have a sexy time.
I was painfully full of the hottest food legally available, and fizzy alcoholic poison.
Fuck. Oh, I feel sick. I feel sick. Because there are people who do that. There are people out there who do that.
They must, in my head, the only way that two people who've had that evening could bang safely is if they both shook hands at the start and said, there are gonna be farts.
Ugh, you have to put down newspaper.
Like you're training a pet.
Yeah. Like plastic cling film, like you're about to murder someone in American Psycho or something.
Like you're Dexter.
Yeah, exactly.
So, story number two from George.
Oh, great.
The title of this story is Oi, Sick Boy.
He's good at his titles. These are like Frasier chapters.
Yes.
It's like Frasier title cards.
He's the Frasier of Maidenhead.
And then it's an outline of the Norden Farm Art Centre.
Some vomit and scrambled eggs.
Just an outline of Smokey Joe's and the Norden Farm Art Centre. Twing.
Story number two. Oi, sick boy. Once again in Smokey Joe's.
God, hey, you know what? Smokey Joe's sounds like the common denominator here, George. How about How about you stop going all Smokey Joe's there?
Yeah. Once again in Smokey Joe's, Maidenhead's answer to what if there was a Chernobyl-themed bar... I'd had another fairly fruity night with the gang.
Yep, so I've heard this story before.
I do like describing. Yeah, I something I do really love is drinking at like a regional town or a university town, and describing it in that kind of Bertie Wooster way is really appealing to me. I really love it.
Fruity.
We had a fairly fruity night with the gang. I love that. Oh, I miss pubs. So he had another fairly fruity night with the gang, with a particular emphasis on getting in shots.
Great. Yep.
Most of these were Sambuca, which has the unfortunate property of being... You knew it. It was coming.
Knew it.
Most of these were Sambuca, which has the unfortunate property of being absolutely fucking repellent.
The first Sambuca I had in fucking Bath or whatever when I moved to the UK, I was so confusing. It's like, you are rebelling. We're breaking the law so that we can drink this. And this is what we're getting things on our permanent record so that we can taste some fucking aniseed poison vodka.
Yeah, just Bertie Bassett's spaff.
Oh, no, thanks.
Horrible. I've always wondered about Americans, so they always, in TV shows, they always go, my permanent record? It's like, what's the KGB? What do you mean permanent record? What are you talking about?
Yeah, an amazing idea that America could be that centralized, or that so detailed and centrally governed as to give everyone in the country a permanent record.
And like, but the permanent record is sort of, it's like run by like your high school principal or something. It's so weird. It's so weird. Anyway.
It's goddamn McCarthyism.
It's goddamn McCarthyism. I am not now, nor have I ever been, a member of the Communist Party. Ronald Reagan was one of the few Hollywood people to testify and name names, the coward.
Yeah. Terrible.
Naughty old Reagan. After a few too many of these, and on a foundation of white Russians from the bar before, oof.
Man.
Milky.
What is it about cream? Early days drinking? Actually, well, there's no way to prove that this was in George's early days of drinking, but it's a uniquely British phenomenon as when you start drinking, you have to start with the most vile versions of alcohol you can possibly find.
Yeah.
I guess that's just what your budget can handle, I suppose, at that point.
Well, and also, like, it's all vile to you because you're not used to the taste yet, I guess.
That's true.
Yeah. So he says, therefore, after a few too many of these Sambuca shots and on a foundation of white Russians from the bar before, it all got too much for my poor organs. They evacuated the contents of my stomach with such reckless abandon that I wasn't able to prepare.
Well, yeah, this sounds, again, very true to form. I'm surprised they don't have a photo of George behind the bar at Smokey Joe's that just says, don't give this man liquids.
So he says, it came out with such reckless abandon I wasn't able to prepare. The best I could do was ambitiously attempt to close my lips.
Yeah, with your fingers maybe, because that worked before.
However, this had the unwelcome effect of creating an aperture that, if anything, concentrated the jet of gut gravy.
Right, so he made a vomit laser.
Yes. Yes. Which shot across the heads and shoulders of the group of people sitting in front.
God.
Realizing Jesus. Too late what was in motion, my brother grabbed me and pushed me to the toilets, turning back to mollify the victims.
How do you calm those people down? What do you say?
Yeah, sorry about him. Drink Saranus. He's full of sick.
Ugh. That's vomit you've got on you there.
In returning to me, he found me at the back of a long queue for the toilets, arms folded and waiting patiently with my cheeks full to bursting with vomit.
Oh, Jesus.
And dripping
Christ.
Down my chin.
Oof. Like a vile hamster.
Tapping his foot, checking his watch.
Come on. Hey, what's a hold up?
Making his excuses to the line, he pushed me to the front and emptied my face into the sink.
Fuck, the sink. That's going to get plugged up, man. Fuck. I hate this. Because, you know, we've all gone into a public bathroom and there's been just a sink clogged up with vomit.
There's been a crime in the sink.
And you go, which fucking piece of shit did this? And it turns out it's one of our very own listeners. I don't know what to believe anymore.
The worst is if it's a train station bathroom, because then you go, oh, there's a whole story here, isn't there?
There's a whole story, and no one is going to clean this up. That's what
you mean. This is a problem now. So he says, the rest of the night is a blur, but the morning after, my head felt utterly Cobained.
Wow, very good. Yeah. Very good.
And my mouth tasted like a junkie's carpet.
Mm.
Part two of the story.
Mm-hmm.
A week later, I was in the local Wetherspoons when I heard a man call out, "Oi, sick boy!" I thought nothing of it until I heard it again and again. Eventually, a man, a bit taller and older than me, came up and looked me in the eye. "Oi, sick boy, you don't remember me, do you? Smokey Joe's last week. You threw up on me and my girlfriend."
Oh, wow.
At that point, my guts turned to goulash. And I knew he was about to make my face into a paste.
Sounds like something that would happen to Marty McFly.
Yeah. Hey, you.
Hey, pew boy. You threw up on me and my girlfriend.
Given that I have about as much fight in me as Theresa May's final 3 months in power, I had already accepted death.
Lovely little satire drive-by there.
Very nice. However, he put his hand out and said, "You recovered yet?" I shook his hand nervously, and he explained how apologetic I was after it had happened and how many drinks I had bought them afterwards to make up for it. I'd even helped wash it out of their clothes with loo roll from the bar.
Ah, good on him.
Good drunk. That's a good drunk.
Also, I'm so sorry I got so drunk. Let me buy you some drinks.
Yeah. I'm now so sorry. I'm so sorry I threw up. It was because I drank all that poison. Would you like some poison?
Maybe you can throw up.
With my financial help.
Now, any non-British listeners listening to this story might think, oh gosh, this George fellow sounds like he might have a drinking problem, having drunk excessively one weekend only to return to a different pub the next weekend. But no, if anything, George is one of the more responsible drinkers in this country.
Yes, George is a vicar who works with troubled youths.
If anything, this is the story of a journeyman drinker.
This is, yes, every single British person is George in this story at least once or twice in their life.
Mm-hmm.
Every single one. Us
even
included.
Me. Yeah, even me.
Even us.
That's why I can feel all of George's stories with such visceral clarity.
Yeah. Yeah, whereas I always get the impression that in America you'd only hear stories like this in a church basement in an AA meeting.
Yeah, exactly.
I shook his hand nervously and a cautionary tale, quite a pleasant end to an otherwise grisly story, but a cautionary tale against going to Smoky Joe's or being anywhere near me if I'm there. Hope you enjoyed, chaps. What? Keep on jacking it. Your man in the field, George.
Again, George is not listening to his own advice to stay away from Smoky Joe's and to stay away from him when he is inevitably in Smoky Joe's. George, don't go to Smoky Joe's. This isn't our problem. You're the one who keeps going to Smoky Joe's. Don't warn us.
Oh, I love it. But I love in the same way as a fruity night with the gang, I also love your man in the field. I really enjoy that.
Yeah. Yeah, it's very World War II gentleman spy, isn't it?
Yeah, I love it. We we have a great email from he signed it off Jay.
Isn't Jay, J A Y? Oh, nice.
Jay,
mysterious Jay.
Yeah, so if you remember, we had an email about someone who they lived with a girl who wears her brother's pants.
Ugh, yeah. Wait, this is my story.
Oh, wait, was it you describing it?
Yeah.
Yes, no, someone told you. It wasn't an email, was it?
Yeah, it was my friend. When she runs out of her own pants, will wear her brother's pants.
Absolutely repellent.
In extraordinary, yeah.
I remember that I asked you if they live in Pornhub.
I think you said, what are they, the Lannisters?
So, Jay's email refers to this, right? He says, hi both. Hi. I've recently discovered the podcast, and I'm thoroughly enjoying it during these rather strange times. Thank you, Jay. While listening to number 57... I was intrigued to hear the story about the girl who wears her brother's boxers as pajamas. I agree, it's mental. And that's not the end of the email, although that would be very funny. Just to send the email going, yes.
I agree, that is mental, bye.
Yeah, so he says, I agree, it's mental. Then he continues, if you think that's mental, try this on for size.
Well, she did, that's why it's so gross.
Yeah. My girlfriend wears her father's boxers as pajamas.
No! What is going on?
And to make matters more insane, Phil, she only wears them during her monthly womanly moon cycle.
I don't know where to look. I'm alone in my room and I don't know where to look. What is going on? Did Jay say her dad's old boxers or her dad's current boxers?
Surely old.
Please, if there is any god in this universe, let them be old boxers. Please.
No, she just walks up to her dad and says, "I'm on my period. Hand him over," and he immediately
just hands her a ball of middle-aged man Y fronts. Oh, they're boxers. They are boxers.
Did
Jay specify
boxers?
Oh my god! I hate this. I hate this. I wish you hadn't read this email out. I hate this.
Yeah, it's not nice to hear about the daddy's period pants.
Oh my god!
Want some comfortable underwear during that time of the month? Ask your dad, apparently.
Try daddy's.
Daddy's cycle pants.
Oh.
So,
oh, God.
So as he says, my girlfriend wears her father's boxers as pajamas, and to make matters more insane, she only wears them during her monthly womanly moon cycle. It's the creepiest situation I've been in, and frankly, I find the whole thing borderline incestuous.
It's not right. You are well within your rights to feel that way, Jay. This puts my brother-sister story well in the shade, I reckon.
Yeah, I think so. I think it's a significant escalation here on the border.
This gal in the fucking Fritzel pants. I mean, what is going on?
Nothing fits like a Fritzel pant.
It Fritzels great. Sure, your pants fit, but do they fritz? Oh.
Yeah, he says, I mean, talk about an Electra complex. The sight of her father's boxers adorning my partner sends cold shivers down my spine. It's like he's in the room watching and comforting during a rather private personal time. Like Obi-Wan's Force ghost.
Fucking hell.
Hovering.
Jesus.
I was glad to hear about your own personal boxer short conundrum, and I now take comfort in knowing that I do not suffer alone, nor am I the only one who thinks that wearing a sibling's or parent's underwear is bizarre.
These are people who will put their sex toys in the dishwasher. These are people who go, I washed it, it's clean. It's like, there's some things you can't clean. There's some things you cannot wash off, isn't it? How much faith do these people have in soap?
For them, the sex toys in the dishwasher and wearing your dad's pants, the only issues are logistical cleaning ones, and after that, they can't think of any abstract problems. It's an astonishing failure of imagination, isn't it?
How many more people out there are there like this?
Does she not put on the boxes thinking, these are the things that... hug my own dad's dick and balls.
These are the things that soak up a little drop of piss every time he goes to the toilet.
Yeah. Ah. Ah, how nice.
These form a little pube hammock. Regularly.
On daddy's long old balls.
Oh, these rub up against dad's gooch and soak up all his daddy sweat. Oh my god. These pants don't know what's going on.
Yeah, and he says, I'm glad to get that off my chest. Keep up the good work, Jay. Bloody hell, hey?
Wow, I mean, that is quite a story. That's amazing. It's not until you hear a story like that that you realize sort of how lucky you are, really. And
yeah.
And how good you have it, and how normal your life actually is.
A story like that, if you ever stop and think, is my family a bit weird? And then you read that and you go, oh, fine. Like, you could think something like, oh, my family's a bit weird because, I don't know, every Saturday we all wear onesies and have pancakes and it's a big thing. And you go, yeah, but this lady's wearing her dad's pants, so I wouldn't worry.
Yeah, my family's a fucking Flanders next to this guy.
Yeah, yes. We're all Rod and Todd next to the daddy pants.
Well, great email, Jay. Thank you very much.
Great email, Jay. Thank you for that. Do keep us updated. We're a little out of date, so I hope you're still... I hope if you hear this, you keep us updated. We'll have a running thing. P. Danny, or Danny P. rather, has sent us interesting photos, which I'll describe to you.
Okay.
He's titled the email Dystopian Tat.
Wow, okay, nice one. Very relevant.
And it is dystopian. He says, hey Beeps, which I quite like.
Yeah, Beeps is cute, I like Beeps.
Hey Beeps, I came across this relic from happier, tattier times. Enjoy, Koji, Danny P. And so I'll describe the photo to you, Phil, because it was quite confusing. The initial photo is a photo of a house in the middle of being demolished, I'd say.
Okay. As in, there's a wrecking ball coming at it, or it's just, like, falling apart.
So the photo is taken from behind, you know, there's like big fences they put up around building sites.
Yep, yep, yep.
And so, assuming that it was Danny P who took this picture, he stood on the street side of the fence looking in. And mm-hmm. through the fence, we can see a house that is now just a shell. So there's no roof. The windows and doors have all been smashed out. It's all exposed bricks. There's rubble everywhere. Big skip full mm-hmm. of stuff. And so you're looking directly into the shell of a house, like a World War II level in a game.
Sure. Gotcha.
And that's all it is. So I thought, well, that's not Tat. And then the next picture, it's zoomed in on one of the hollow windows a little bit. And you can just make out something on the wall. Some scribbles, it looks like.
Wait, and there's a message.
Wait, enhance. And we zoom in a little more, Phil. And eagle-eyed, whoever even found this, incredible. You look in there, and there, scribbled on the wall of the shell of the wrecked house, in curly-whirly writing. I would say, okay, so the top line of this tat on the wall, Phil, it's wall tat. The top line is like, you know, with cursive inscriptions, sometimes they just go, instead of letters, just initially, some curly-whirly symmetrical drawings.
Mm-hmm.
Like the top of a newspaper, like all swirls and leaves and things.
But with the letter incorporated into it?
No, just some doodles.
Oh, yeah. Just a little designy doodly thing, yeah.
Yeah, so there's one of those on top. And mm-hmm. Below that first line, the tat begins, and it says, "A girl should be two things."
Oh, no.
Two, Phil, two whole things.
Yeah. No right. more, no less.
No more, no less. A girl should be two things. And then the next line, it says the things, blank and blank. What do you think they are?
So this is the first line. No, these are both lines.
Yeah. So the first line...
Are they a word each or like a little sentence each?
A word each. Word and okay. word.
A girl should be these two things, blank and blank. Nice and nasty.
Oh, that's not a bad guess. I would say make it a bit more like fancify it a bit.
Elegant and devious.
You're so close. A girl should be two things, classy and fabulous.
It's more obvious. I put a twist on it that didn't even need to be there.
Exactly. You thought
it's just two good things.
It's just two good things. Also, they're both capitalized, like we're speaking German for some reason. And
classy und fabulous.
Yeah, classy und fabulous. What I like about it, Phil, is classy and fabulous are not like opposites. There's a lot of overlap there.
There's overlap. Yes, there's enough overlap that you don't need both words, but also enough different about them that you're kind of talking about two different people.
Yeah.
I think someone who is fabulous is often not classy, because class is about sort of understated.
Yes.
Beauty, yes. Isn't it?
Or just being able to politely rebuff the advances of an old rich man. It always seems to basically be that.
I love that this... This tat has survived demolition. Because tat survives. Tat
yeah.
lives on.
You can
tat
you
always
can kill
finds
me.
A way.
Yeah, you can kill me, but you'll never kill tat.
You can't kill an idea. You can't kill tat.
You are only killing a tat man. You are not killing tat.
You cannot kill the idea that girls should be two things, classy and fabulous.
I will die for live, laugh, love.
Wow.
So, what I also like is I like the idea of someone going, yes, she is classy, but is she fabulous?
Because really, a girl should be two things.
Yes, she's halfway there. She's classy, but her fabulousness needs a work.
Her fabulation.
Fabulation. And do you know who's that's a, and the, there's a third line, Phil. It attributes the quote to someone. Who do you think allegedly said that on this tat? What famous
Albert Einstein.
A girl should be two things. Classy und fabulous. C equals F squared.
It'll be Marilyn Monroe.
Ooh, you're
it's
close.
Always Marilyn Monroe.
You're close.
Oh, okay. And it's Audrey Hepburn.
Ooh, you're so close.
Audrey Hepburn. Oh, come on.
Not American.
Not American. Kate Middleton. Why don't I know any non-American women? Kate Blanchett.
You insist on only knowing American women.
I try if I can help it. Boudica. Boudica, final answer.
Coco Chanel, of course.
Ah, of course, that is that fucking Nazi. Of course, yes.
listeners, I'm sure we've told you this before, but Coco Chanel was a Nazi collaborator who stole money and property from Jewish businesses and had affairs with members of the Nazi, the SD, Sicherdienst, or however you pronounce it, their kind of secret service. So yes, a true.
Well, the secret to much of Coco's success was her ability to collaborate.
Yes. Yes, to work together. Nazis, designers, whoever.
Yeah. Chanel's first big collaboration was with the Third Reich.
Her first big... Hitler was indirectly her first big collab.
Oh, he was he was a real influencer at the time.
Yeah. That's why Chanel number one, the perfume, was delivered via a grenade.
I love that Chanel the Coco Chanel the Nazi has become a sort of theme of the podcast.
I think it's just she's come to represent so many things that are annoying that the more we can make people aware that she was a fascist collaborator, the more that those annoying things might go away at least a bit. At least a bit. Because everyone always pipes up with that Hugo Boss semi-true fact.
Well, that he did the old outfits.
Yeah.
He did the Nazi uniforms. Is that not true?
I think the factories made the uniforms. I don't know. I don't think it's true that Hugo Boss himself sat with a pencil and drew out the letters SS on a little collar and all the rest of it. But
right. Yeah, sure.
Yeah, it's true enough to, you know, be said repeatedly in pubs, which is what it is. But... yeah.
It's pub true. Pub true.
It's pub true, exactly.
It's the kind of thing you tell your friend just as George spews hot vomit onto your face out of nowhere.
Well, did you know that Hugo Boss actually... Blah, blah, sick boy!
Sick boy!
Sick boy strikes again! A city under siege!
Yeah, all these detectives pouring barrels of vomit into the drains.
Pour it all away, boys. Every drop. The people of Maidenhead are crying out for Sick Boy. Stalking Maidenhead's lonely rooftops.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
K- Kieran sends us a good photo of some of something we haven't had in a while, pointless nonsensical mottos.
Ooh. Mm. Is it... Oh, and it's not like one of the an old man said to a pigeon. One of those. It's not one of those sort of made up. No.
It's like taste your beautiful, or reinstall your yum or whatever the fuck.
Like a marketing tat. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. He says, "Bonjour, Podbuds. Just a quick one. The Tiger in Newcastle closed in the latter part of last year and reopened as a bar named Eden and maintains its questionable reputation." Eden.
George, one for you there, George.
Yeah. anyway, I only noticed the motto recently. Lots of lonely isolation love, Koji Kieran. So there's a photo here of Eden, and I will say this, the outside of the bar looks like... it looks like a sort of only just starting out chain of travel hotels.
Okay.
Doesn't really look like a bar at all.
Like one of those hotel chains that you think, oh, this will be reasonably priced because it's a gross hotel chain and it's £300 for no reason whatsoever.
Yeah.
One of those hotels.
And it presents itself as this like monolithic, uncommunicatable with sort of chain. And then you discover there's three. There's three of them. So yeah. The name of the bar, Eden, is there with a serifed lowercase font, which is odd, like Times New Roman lowercase, it looks like.
Okay.
The second E, however, Phil, is backwards. Ooh.
Ugh. Yuck.
Yuck indeed. However, underneath, the motto of Eden is, and these are all capitalized, drink, dance, dine, and discover.
Discover. What's there to discover?
Dine.
What are you going to discover?
Dine.
I guess you could discover that Hugo Boss designed... the Nazi uniforms.
I always love when like a scuzzy nightclub is like dine. It's like
dine in. Yeah, it's like when dine in is on McDonald's. Will you be dining in?
Tonight we dine at Eden. A filled potato skin for milady.
If you can dance in a place, then you can't dine in there. I think you can only have one of those two in the same room.
Yes.
You can eat and you can dance in the same place. Yeah. But you can't dine and dance
you
in the same
dine.
Place.
You can't dine. It's not safe to carry a flaming crepe Suzette across a crowded dance floor.
You can't. Well, what happened to Suzette? Poor Suzette.
You can't carry a sizzling teriyaki platter through a dance floor. Discover, though. That's interesting.
Discover. Meaningless. Absolutely meaningless. God.
Let's see. I think someone sent us a screenshot of a text where we get negged.
Well, you and I get negged.
Yeah, well, like the podcast, kind of. It's like quite an odd response to a podcast.
Okay.
So Oliver says, "Hello, poop stars." He says, "I'm currently on episode 49, having started just a few weeks ago, a Pistorian."
Good work.
Yeah.
Going through the archives.
Yeah. And he says, "And it only took a global pandemic to find you guys. Attached below is my most bud pod attempt to spread the podcast. They clearly weren't impressed by the superb scatological stories."
Mm.
So in the text, he's messaging someone. And he says, "Did you guys listen to that podcast?"
Oh, no.
And then someone called Katie is replying. And she says, "I did, but then I got bored, as I don't really like people talking at me whilst I'm doing something, so I turned it off."
Right, okay. I mean, that...
That is what all podcasts are.
That we're going to have to leave at Katie's door, that one. Because there's very little we could have done about that.
Yeah, she's the one who was doing stuff. We recommend that people lie perfectly still and focus entirely on listening to us.
God damn it, this podcast's terrible. Can't they see I'm busy?
I did, but then I got bored as I don't really like people talking at me whilst I'm doing something, so I turned it off. All right.
Did you like the nightclub? It was all right, but I got bored because I don't really like dancing while music's being played at me.
Yeah, it's all very distracting, isn't it? I couldn't find the time to sit and eat a full roast dinner whilst focusing only on listening to a podcast or whatever exactly.
We want all our Podbuzz to listen to this podcast like they're a lonely teenager in the 80s, just lying on their bed with headphones plugged into a record player, with their was just staring at the ceiling with their fingers interlaced on their stomach.
Yeah.
That's how you have to listen to this podcast.
Yeah. Or floating in a kind of clear liquid with loads of like wires coming out of you in a big tube.
Yeah. What were those tanks called? An isolation tank? That's what you need for this podcast.
Yes.
Some people who've done it say you can actually smell the poo. It's so engrossing.
You feel like you're doing the poo.
Well, you feel like you are the poo, probably, floating in an isolation tank.
People report the feeling of terror that they're about to be flushed, yes. Yes, okay. So, Christine gets in touch.
Christine the Queens.
Yes, she says, good morning, peepees.
Thank you.
She says, I do my daily exercise at 6 a.m. because, one,
oof,
I know, 6 a.m. One, I can avoid the dinguses who make it super hard for me to keep 2 meters away from them, which is fair.
Enough, yeah.
And two, to be honest, there's not much other shit to do at the moment in the day. Now is the time to not have small children and a full-time job you can do from home, I can tell you. Fair enough.
So is that why Christine's up already? Because my solution to that problem would be wake up later.
Mm.
But if you don't have enough to do, just, you know, be unconscious for more amount of time.
Oh, no, she says there's too much other shit to do in the day. Okay, no, because she is that person.
Okay, that makes sense.
All right, there we go. So she says, so on my morning walk today, choosing the song for the day for that 30-day song challenge, because that's what I've been to reduce to.
What is this challenge? Is it like a new song every day?
Oh, yeah. Post a song a day to show that you love songs or whatever.
Okay.
And this monstrosity jumps out at me. I felt weird taking a picture of someone's house, so I did it all stealthy-like. And it's a picture through a front door.
Oh, wow. Into the house.
Yeah, into the house with some visible tat. And
this is some investigative tat journalism here.
Yes, and it's some tat we've actually been sent on Twitter recently as well, I think, in a different form. It's popped up here and there, this tat, but I don't think we've ever addressed it on the podcast. It says, Phil, what if the hokey cokey really is what it's all about?
Oh, no. Mm. Yeah, I mean, the thing about that is, you hear that once. You hear someone say that once. What if the hokey cokey really is what it's all about? You go, yeah, no, that's pretty fun. Yeah, quite interesting. Yeah, that's a funny joke.
Yeah.
You don't want to see that in your hallway every... Jokes get old quick. Jokes get old the second time you hear them, let alone the 5,000th. So why would you put that up in your house?
I've never heard a joke so good that I want to carve the joke out of wood and have it in my room.
Mm. Mm-mm-mm. No,
and I've heard some... amazing jokes. Like, I would get sick of the best ever, you know, whatever, Dave Chappelle, Stuart Lee, whatever routine, if it was carved in wood and I had to fucking look at it every day.
Yeah, you'd go and say, what, do you think the person who lives in that house ever tells that joke to someone outside the house?
I think that's why they have it up. Like, so as they leave the house, they look at it and they go, one a day.
Do you think they see a friend and the friend is like, hey, you remember the hokey cokey? And this person goes, what if the hokey cokey really is what it's all about? And the other person goes, yeah, okay. Is that person then thinking, thank goodness I have that joke pinned up on my wall every day, so I remember to do it when the opportunity arises.
No, but like when they go see the friend, and the friend goes, hey, do you remember doing the hokey cokey when you were kids? And they like the excitement of it finally coming up, they're just like, What if the hokey? It's all about the hokey hokey. And fuck,
mess it up.
Fuck.
I couldn't have been more prepared for this. I couldn't have been more ready.
They just go home and silently
every
burn
fucking
their house
day
to the ground.
I look at that thing.
Yeah, I think so. Funny email from Andrew where he just says, "Hi, Phil and Pierre. Historically, I'm not a great sleeper, but I found your podcast recently, and I find listening to an episode when I go to bed has me asleep in minutes. Fabulous."
Well, thanks, Andrew. That's really kind of you.
Thanks, Andrew. Thank you for that. Okay, thank you.
I guess you were just too engaged before.
Yes, I think so.
Before you found our podcast, you're too interested in the world.
Yeah. We have a fantastic email here from Josh, who is the founding father, also known as George Washingbum.
Oh, very good.
So I think
see you again, sir.
Yeah, he's Josh of old.
Yeah.
George Washingbum himself. And the title of this email is The Blair Poop Project.
Okay.
Which is good.
Is this about the Iraq War?
No, that was something of a shit show. Yeah, thanks to Tony Blyer.
To say the least.
So he says, "Dear Novellington Boot and Harry Bo Wangtastics."
Okay, I like that.
Yeah. Founding Father Josh here, also known as George Washingbum. Listening since day one, silently supporting the bum-bum life. And I'm finally throwing my shat into the ring.
Lovely. I like that a lot.
Beautiful.
I like that a lot. Throwing your shat into the ring.
Get that carved up. Pop it on your wall.
Put that in your hallway.
Put that in your hallway. That's a funny phrase. Put that in your hallway. He says, "I have a harrowing tale of a moment in my life so suppressed, some could say I'm psychologically constipated."
Wow, okay.
"But it's time to irrigate that mind bowel and share it with my fellow brothers and sisters."
Yep.
"Many moons ago, I was once on a summer holiday in the Lake District with my family and our family friends, one of whom I had taken a liking to."
Oh.
Mm.
Hopefully within the family friends.
Yes, and not wearing any family members' pants. "A bunch of us kids were out one afternoon on the lake on a little rowing boat, splashing around and frankly having a gay old time. I really felt as though I was making a connection with one of the girls in the other family, and things were moving along swimmingly, if you pardon the bum."
They come out of nowhere. That's what I like about them. You never expect them.
It's good. It was all... it was all very swallows and Amazons until the moment I felt a little poo pocket brewing in my innards."
What's Swallows and Amazons?
Is a book and then a film or a TV adaption? Sort of idyllic frolicking of young English summertime in lakes and
very
things,
good.
Isn't it?
That's one of the scenes. Gotcha. So a little hot pocket was brewing in his belly?
Yes. One second, where's it gone? Yes, so, "Things were going along swimmingly, if you pardon the bum. It was all very swallows and Amazons, until the moment I felt a little poo pocket brewing in my innards. Remaining calm and collected, I rowed us over to a nearby dock surrounded in forest." Very nice.
Mm.
Calm and collected enough to row them all over, too. I like that.
Yeah.
"Remaining calm and collected, I rowed us over to a nearby dock surrounded in forest that I felt was safe enough for me to go and get my bottom business dealt with. I hastily jumped off the boat, leaving my sisters and the other lovely ladies to chill out and wait for my return."
What did he tell them they were doing? What did he tell them he was doing?
It's probably sort of acceptable that boys go for wees in the woods, so he might have said a whiz was.
"Excuse me, ladies, I need to go and find some twigs. I left a twig here earlier today, and I need it.
I need it for something." At this point, I was reaching DEFCON bum.
Got it again. He got me again.
and speedy delivery of this pooey poltergeist was imperative to ensure my summer romance got underway.
Yes, yes, yes. God, many a poo's got in the way of a burgeoning romance for me, I can tell you.
There's nothing worse than a poo in the way of romance.
You'd think the body would know to suppress it as an evolutionary device.
You'd think it would go, you know what, we can leave this.
Yeah, there's more important stuff at play here.
Yes, you'd think, wouldn't you, that it would, because sometimes you can definitely hold a poo more than a wee. I'll say that.
Yes, I think you're right, yes. I've always told people that you say that. And you're right.
I've got it carved in a piece of wood in my Put that in your hallway.
Put that in your hallway. Ooh, I like that. Put that in your hallway.
So he says, finding a small ditch shielded by bushes, I felt I was safe enough to unzip my wetsuit down to my ankles. Oh, that's a new
This is a
info.
Reveal. A wetsuit.
A wetsuit?
I had not been picturing a wetsuit up to this point.
No. I was picturing that he was dressed like a little frat boy.
Very hard to hide a turtle head when you're wearing a wetsuit.
It's true. It's true. Hard enough to hide your bollies. So, he felt he was safe enough in this ditch shielded by bushes to unzip his wetsuit down to his ankles and get chitten.
God, this is not going to end well.
Little did I know, my afternoon plop parade was being presented to a small raccoon at my rear.
Oh, okay, that's not too bad.
As I turned to look for a sizable leaf to clean the mess, I was met by the furry perv.
And did he grab it?
Grabbing my shit in handfuls and throwing it back at me.
What? Wow! That's an incredible story.
Because that's where the raccoon lives. Fuck you! What are you doing?
Just heading back home, another day of being a raccoon. Gosh, life is good. Ah!
Oh, look, some sort of river man. Well, that's a...
Oh, it seems to be peeling off his skin and exposing his... What? No. What the... What's he doing? That's my... Man.
Also, they do kind of have little hands, don't they?
They have little hands, and I just imagine this thing going, to get your shit out of here! Just throwing stuff at him like they just had a terrible breakup.
Take
your shit and go!
Yeah, the raccoon's going, take that and that! So, as he turns around to look for a leaf to clean up the mess, met by the furry perv grabbing my shit in handfuls and throwing it back at me.
That's incredible.
In my initial response to the fecal throwing, I felt it best to collect as much of my brown package as possible and discard it elsewhere. Yes, deprive the enemy of ammunition. Smart. Very smart.
This is the more... That's like a cartoon character, this raccoon.
So, I felt it best to collect as much of my brown package as possible and discard it elsewhere. This quickly turned into a scrap, with us both trying to claim the dung as our own. It's
wow!
until the moment my lady love came around the corner looking for me.
I tell you, it's mine! Are you in there? It's who are you talking to? It's mine. He just turns a corner. He's fighting a raccoon for his own shit.
Yeah. So he came around the corner looking for me. So there I was, wetsuit around my ankles, shit in hand, facing off with a wild animal. All three of us stood there, looking back and forth at each other like an excrement standoff.
Very good, excrement standoff. Oh,
very,
man.
Very nice.
Not
I'm imagining
only is it
this...
a great story, but he's keeping it up with the puns. Wow.
Oh, yeah. I'm picturing this happening to the tune of Ecstasy of Gold by Ennio Morricone.
That's the raccoon singing.
With a hand fistfuls of a fistful of shit. Instead of a fistful of dollars.
He's the fastest.
And then the sequel,
the
A Few
West.
Turds More. The good, the bad, and the raccoon.
Uh,
Yes. So there I was, wetsuit around my ankles, shit in hand, facing off with a wild animal. All three of us stood there looking back and forth at each other like an excrement standoff. Needless to say, romance didn't blossom from this horrific incident. In fact, she ran off into the woods, screaming and crying, and to this day hasn't looked me in the eye again.
I think this lady should have more appreciation for the incredible scene she had the privilege of witnessing.
Yeah, reader, I married him. That's what it should say.
That's an amazing. Getting into a fight with a raccoon over your own feces. That is...
Also, I mean, she's encountering him, right? Not only fighting with a raccoon over your turd, but with a pooey bum and presumably just some dangly dick and balls and bound ankles.
Thing is, if she liked him in that state, they were meant to be together. So...
Yeah.
Skipped a whole bunch of dating to figure out that really they weren't for each other.
Yeah. You know what, Josh? You don't want to marry someone who doesn't think that that situation is not only funny, but significant. Artistically, culturally, whatever.
I mean, that's a story to tell the grandkids.
Yeah.
Perfect story to tell the grandkids.
Yeah. So he says, anyway, love the pod, listen so regularly, I feel we're all good pals. So I wanted to open up and share with you my Trumpy tale. Yours faithfully, yours always faithfully, Jacked, founding father Joshua, George Washingbum.
Thank you, George Washingbum. If only you did wash your bum.
Well, that's it. That's it. You would have had to go to the lake to sort that out, I'm quite sure. Yes, you want to be absolutely clear on that, otherwise you'll end up with like a wetsuit that keeps in pooey water so you stay warm.
The thing is, I mean, Josh would have eventually had to go back to that boat, and that's a conversation I'd love to see. Him getting back
to
the boat.
Yes, because when the rest of them, she's all crying and upset, and the rest are like...
What did you do? What did you do in that wood?
Well, they just say, what happened? And it's like, I can't...
It's a raccoon. A raccoon. Look, we'll discuss it later, please. Are you doing anything later tonight?
Thanks. thanks very much, Josh. That's all the time we have for this correspondence special.
It is. Thank you again for all your wonderful emails and correspondence. They are a treat and a privilege.
Yes, thank you guys, and keep jacking it. Enjoy your week. Bye.
Keep jacking everyone. See y'all in a bit. Bye-bye.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.